talk about this morning, making a choice. James tells them, James 4:13-14, come now. You that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into this city and we'll spend a year and we will trade and make gain, whereas you know not what tomorrow shall bring. What is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanishes away. Just like the steam that comes out of that tea kettle that we used to have when I was a kid. Just comes out of there about that far. Where's it go? That's our life. That's what God said our life is. Therefore, the important thing in our life is the choices that we make. And like Dave said, there's only two choices. There's not a multitude. There's only two. God tells us what the choice is, and He tells us the fruit of them. God tells us that we're free to make a choice, but we're not free from the fruit of that choice. He told the Israelites, He brings them out of Egypt, and they wander in the wilderness 40 years before they go into the land of promise. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 30, after the law of blessing and cursing, God tells them, this day I call heaven and earth, chapter 30, verse 19. Today I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose you life that you might live and your seed. He tells us, make a choice. Joshua said, make a choice. Elijah said, make a choice. Jesus said, make a choice. And that's our challenge. And I want us to look at examples in Isaiah to see about poor choices and good choices. God tells him in Isaiah 1, verse 19. No, 18. In verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. The life and the death. If you're willing and obey, you'll eat of the good of the land, the blessing. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, the death and the curse. Israel chose wrong. Religious Israel. Now I want us to realize these people in their own mind are religious people. They're not denying God. They're not denying Jehovah God. They're coming and they're bringing all their offerings in. And they can't figure out why God's not happy with them. If you go back further in chapter 1 there, if you start in verse 9, he says, except Jehovah had left us a very small remnant, we have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he says, hear you the word of Jehovah, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. That's his chosen people he's talking to, and he calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he goes on to say, what unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices? See, they're offering sacrifices. They're not denying God. And the reason I'm talking about this is because we may be just like Israel. They were professing the religion. They were bringing all their sacrifices, and the blood was running knee-deep off those sacrifices. We're giving God what He wants. And God said, reading on, I have had enough of your sacrifices. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith Jehovah. I've had enough of the sacrifices of rams the fat of fed beast. I have no delight in the blood of your bulls and of your lambs and of your he-goats. And when you come to present yourselves before me, who has required this at your hand that you trample in my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. New moons and feast days. Away with them. Iniquity, I cannot bear you. When you spread your hands before me, I'll turn my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I'll not hear. Well, what's going on? Didn't God tell him to bring those sacrifices? You see, they're doing what I hope we're not doing. They're going through the ceremonies. They're going through the rituals. They're doing just what God says, but their heart's not with God. God said, just quit it. And I want us to think what we do. We can come here, as Dave said, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we can come here and be just like Israel. Be just like them. As Isaiah wrote 740 years before Christ, so also did Amos. Amos, prophet to the northern 10 tribes, while Isaiah was in the southern tribe of Judah. Hosea to the northern tribes, Micah to the southern tribes. All in the same century, the 8th century B.C. Amos says in chapter 5, verse 21, speaking for Jehovah, I hate, I despise your feast. I have no pleasure in your solemn feast. Yea, when you bring your offerings of burnt offerings and meal offerings, I'll not accept them. I have no pleasure in your peace offerings of fat beasts. Take away the sound of your songs. I'll not hear the melody of your vows. God said, I've had enough of it. But they were doing what God commanded in his offerings, in the sacrificial system. But you see, the covenant has two sides. The covenant has the law, and God's desire was that they'd give their heart to God and obey God and show love to God and obey his commandments. The sacrificial system was just because of God's great mercy. He knew that the people couldn't do it completely. So if they stumbled, they have the sacrificial system. Israel had perverted the whole system to where to them, they did the sacrificial side of it and thought God's supposed to be happy with it. In Amos 5, where we were, the next verse says, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness as a mighty river. That's what God wants. Micah chapter 6, 1 down through 5, God talks about bringing these people out of Egypt and all that he's done for them, and God's not happy with them, and the people don't understand that because they're just being busy. They're coming busy. They're coming to church every Sunday. Of course, theirs was on the Sabbath, but whatever they did. They're offering the sacrifices. They're bringing them on. Why is God not happy with all this? And they say in verse 6, wherewith shall we come before Jehovah and bow before the high God? Will Jehovah, shall we bring to Jehovah burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will Jehovah be pleased with 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my iniquity and the fruit of my soul for the sin of my soul? See, they're saying, what's wrong with God? We're bringing him all these sacrifices. And the next verse, verse 8, says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. What Jehovah demands of you, but to do justly, love kindness, and walk humbly with thy God. Israel missed the point. And it's easy for us to miss the point. We can come in here and assemble every Sunday. We can come every Wednesday night and miss the point just like Israel did. God wants their hearts. David, 300 years before Isaiah. In Psalms 51, where he's mourning because of his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. And he says in verse 16, Psalms 51, verse 16, he says, "Thou hast no delight in sacrifice, else I would have offered it. You have no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of Jehovah is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Amen. God wants the heart. God wants you and me to give ourselves totally to God. The things we do when we gather here are important. But without our heart given to God, God says, "I don't need those." They went to Babylonian captivity, the northern 10 tribes, Assyrian captivity. Judah to Babylonian captivity. They come back out of there after 70 years dominance of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. They come back and they're cured of their idolatry, but they still have one problem. The wicked trinity that Dave spoke of. I, myself, and I. And God tells them in Malachi, just before he closes the last book of the Old Testament, he says in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Oh, that there was one among you that would shut the door, that they kindle not a fire on my altar. I have no pleasure in you, saith Jehovah, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." God was through with Israel because they refused to give him their heart. He tells them, go back to chapter 1 of Isaiah. He says there in verse 16, he says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows." God's calling them to do that which is right. God wants them to choose life that they could live. We know they didn't. And God sent them to captivity. He says, "I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life that you might live." Isaiah is an example of the one that chose to do the right thing. So we want to look at chapter 6. This is Isaiah's call and commission. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, Isaiah's response to God is what we want ours to be. Now, I want you to understand, people say, "Well, he was a prophet." He wasn't a prophet before he was called. He's just like you and me before God called him. He's no different than us. His reaction and our reaction to God should be the same. In verse 1, he says, "The year that Uzziah died." Now, when Uzziah died, he was a great king. All of them looked to him. He's a good king. He brought him back to Jehovah. And he died, and the Judah thought, "It's beyond hope now. We're lost now for sure." So God lets him see who the real king is. The real king don't sit on thrones on this earth. The real king sits in heaven and rules through the kings that sits on the earth. "The year that Uzziah died, I saw the king. I saw the Lord on his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two did they fly. And they cried one to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundation of the threshold shook with the voice of him that spoke. And the temple was full of smoke." That's the real God. That's the one that says, "I put before you life and death. Choose life that you can live." You see, he chose Israel, the people Isaiah is talking to. Go clear back when they come out of Egyptian bondage, and they go a few days and they get down to Sinai. They get down to Mount Horeb. And in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, God says, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then ye shall be my own possession from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. God set up Israel so that all the world would know Jehovah God through Israel. And it worked good. At first, David, Solomon, all the world looked to him. They knew, all the nations round about knew who Jehovah was because of Israel. But through the years, they went and acted just like the nations, so that they were of no value to God. God in Isaiah 11, he'll speak of a shoot out of Jesse. That's the father of David. The Messiah that would come and the kingdom that he would establish. He talks about the seven spirits of Jehovah will be upon him. He talks about how the lion would eat with the lamb and the wolf, and the child would play with the serpent. He says in verse 9 of chapter 11 of Isaiah about the messianic kingdom, which is us. That's the church. And he tells you in verse 9, he says, there'll be no hurt nor destruction in all my holy mountain. That holy mountain's a church. Huh? There'll be no hurt nor destruction in all my holy mountain. Why? Because the earth will be full with the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. That's what you and I are here for. To make sure that the earth is full of the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. That's the reason he called us. You see, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, which we use often, he tells us the same thing he told Israel in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. As he chose them to be his own possession, as he made them unto God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, he tells us in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, you're an elect race. Who? You. Me. We're an elect race. You're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Says the same thing to us that he told Israel, and for the same purpose. That, reading on verse 9, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we live. Have we made the right choices? Because Philippians 2:11 tells us that every tongue shall confess Christ Jesus as Lord to the glory of the Father. Every tongue, from Adam to this day, to as long as God has people on this earth, every tongue going to confess Christ Jesus as Lord. But the multitudes, they're going to confess it too late, and they'll spend an eternity in the fires of hell. That's the reason. He says he called us to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that we could tell all these people about Jesus. That's why we live. When Isaiah saw the king sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, in verse 5 he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Scared the fire out of him. And if we ever saw anything holy, he'd do the same thing to us. He realizes his condition. Maybe this is our problem. We don't realize our condition. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, in Leviticus 13, verse 45. 13 and 14 talk about lepers in Leviticus. And in verse 45 it says the leper who has the plague on him is to tear his clothes, he's to let his hair hang down, and he's cover his upper lip, and anytime anybody gets close he says, unclean, unclean. Isaiah says when he sees the holy God, I'm just like a leper. That's us. Without God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we're just lepers. Dirty, filthy lepers. Brought him to his knees. Remember, that's what David said. The sacrifices of Jehovah is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Isaiah, later in his book, in chapter 57, verse 15. He'll say, thus saith the high and the lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I live in a high and a holy place with, who's he live with? With them of a humble and a contrite heart. To revive the heart of the humble and revive the spirit of the contrite. That's who God lives with. And when we see holiness, Daniel, Ezekiel, when an angel appeared to him, what'd they do? Fell at his feet as one dead. That's what John does in Revelation 1. After he sees the risen Christ in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in chapter 1, verse 9 through 16, in verse 17, he says, I fell at his feet as one dead. He laid his right hand on me and said, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Fear nothing, because our Lord reigns. Now, when he humbles his heart, immediately, verse 6, we're back in chapter 6 of Isaiah. And one of the seraphim flew unto me, having in his hand a live coal that he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, this has touched thy lips, thy iniquities are removed and thy sins are forgiven. That's what God does when we come with a contrite heart. God removes all of our sins. It's what Paul speaks of in Romans 6, verse 6. He says, know ye not that to whom you present yourself as servants, his servants ye are whom ye obey. Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. What do we have here again? Two choices. Good and bad. But thanks be to God, reading on in Romans. Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you become obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine whereunto you were delivered. And having been made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. That was Israel's problem. They thought they were righteous. It may be our problem. We may think we're righteous. After all, we come to assembly every Sunday, don't we? After all, we give our means, we take the Lord's Supper. We do the ceremonial things. And God's supposed to be happy with that. In Jeremiah's time, did God send Jeremiah to the brothels where the harlots were to preach to them, to the people that were down there with them, to the fornicators and the adulterers, the homosexuals? Is that where Jeremiah was sent? Was he sent to the bars where the drunks and all the thievery and the wickedness goes on? Listen, in chapter 7 of Jeremiah, verse 2. God tells Jeremiah, stand you in the gates of Jehovah's house. The righteous people he's going to talk to. Stand you in the gates of Jehovah's house and proclaim there these words. Thus saith Jehovah to all them of Judah that enter herein to worship. You've trusted in lying words that cannot profit. Will a man steal, murder, commit fornication? Be a false witness, burn incense unto Baal, follow after other gods you have not known, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by name, and say we're delivered, that we can do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, saith Jehovah. He was sent to stand where the worshipers were gathering together. Sent to those wicked people out there. sent to people who were deceiving themselves because their heart and their self was not given to God. And they were going through all the ritual, going through all the ceremonies. That's not what God wanted. God wants the heart. Now, as soon as he's cleansed, he gets his commission. Ahanu was baptized this last week. Now he gets his commission. And I heard, reading on in Isaiah 6, and I heard the Lord say, who shall I send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's the answer. Ahanu, that's the answer. Here am I, send me. You see, it doesn't end with being washed your sins away. That's when your commission starts. We're not saved to be saved. We're saved to be like Christ and let everybody in the world to know how they can be saved. In Psalm 51 that we were talking about a while ago, if you start up in verse 7, David says, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Renew unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Then, when sins are washed away, then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. That's David's answer. Isaiah's answer was, here am I, send me. Paul's answer in Romans 1:14 says, I am a debtor. Why is he a debtor? Because his sins were washed away, just like ours are in Christ. I am a debtor to both the Greek and the barbarians, to the wise and to the foolish. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Gentile. For therein, the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. There is where preaching, that is what preaching is for. That is the reaction that we're supposed to have when we're cleansed. Here am I, send me. Now he gets his commission. God said, go. That's the great commission that we get. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, see indeed and perceive not. Make this people's heart fat. He's not talking about obese people. Make this people's heart fat. Make their ear heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn and be healed. That's what preaching does. Preaching to the good heart brings people to God. Preaching to the hard heart makes them refuse God. Two choices I set before you, life and death. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 33, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make it corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. What's he saying? Make a choice. There's only two choices, good and evil. Make the right choice. Isaiah said, how long? How long am I going to do this? And God says, until cities be waste without inhabitants, houses without men, the land be forsaken, till I remove men far away and the forsaken places be many in the land. God says, as long as there's a man standing, you preach. When you get your commission from God, he says, take it and preach as long as you live, you preach. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, he says, in the second book, chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those of us that live should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who for our sakes died and rose again. He'll say in a couple more verses, verse 17, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, they're become new. We need the commission that Jeremiah got. I had a few passages in Jeremiah I wanted to share with you, but we're out of time. But Jeremiah knew the confusion of being given to God's commission and being persecuted, thrown in dungeons. And he asked for God to take care of those people for him. God says, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, how shall you contend with the horses? It's going to get worse, Jeremiah. Though dwelling in a land of peace, how shall you going to do in the pride of the Jordan when the lions get amongst you? Jeremiah wants to quit preaching. He says in chapter 20, verse 7, Jehovah, thou hast persuaded me, and I was persuaded, for they are mightier than I, and I was persuaded, and I'm a laughingstock all day, and a reproach to all the people. And every time I speak, I cry out. I cry violence and destruction, because thy word has become a reproach unto me and a derision. And if I say I'll not make mention of him, nor speak in his name anymore, then there is in my heart a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with containing, and I cannot withhold. Where's our burning fire? Accept the commission. As Isaiah and Jeremiah and David and Paul accept the commission. And preach as long as men are still on this earth. The things written before were written for our learning. That through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. God offers us life and blessings, death and a curse. And he calls us, choose life that you might live. If you haven't chosen Christ, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, whether the gods of the Amorites, or whether the gods with your father serve beyond the river, the Amorites, who God in whose land we dwell. As for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah. Choose now, today. If you haven't come to Christ, choose Christ. He'll give you life eternal. If you've received your commission and wandered from your commission, you might need to return and choose life and the blessings of God. We're going to sing an invitation song, and while we're singing, anybody that needs the help of God and the help of the brethren, come forward. We'll take care of it.